You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We shall overcome one day. We shall overcome.
History and change have always had a soundtrack. The voice of Mahalia Jackson, an anthem of the U.S. Civil Rights Movement. The anti-war movement in the United States during the Vietnam era produced many such anthems. Here, Bob Dylan sings a song that everyone in the audience already knows by heart.
While preachers preach of evil fates, teachers teach that knowledge waits can lead you to $100 plates. Goodness hides behind its gates, but even the president of the United States sometimes will have to stand naked.
Armageddon is a deadly day. Armageddon is a deadly way. They're coming for you every day while senators on a holiday.
Michael Franti's reggae intensity in an anti-Iraq war anthem called Light Up Your Lighter.
Bomb, bomb, here's what you get, an M16 and a Kevlar vest.
People, people, we all the same, no one not the same, because we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless.
And of course, this track, which has come to symbolize economic inequality in the United States. In this year of confronting authority around the world, there is a soundtrack in the pro-democracy movement in the Arab world. And along with technology and social networking, songs and artists with Western pop roots but homegrown lyrics are driving the forces of change. You're listening there to the voice of Hamada Ben Amour, who raps as El General. That's head of state. He's a Tunisian rapper, part of a worldwide language of protest in music. And Sujatha Fernandez joins us, has spent years researching international rap music, is the author of Close to the Edge, In Search of the Global Hip-Hop Generation. She's with us right here in the studio. Sujatha, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, is there a global language? You can definitely hear the pop roots here, but this also sort of transcends any particular genre, El General.
Yes, I think there is a language, and I think that language is one of anger and one of rage, and we can hear that in the music regardless of whether you speak Arabic or not.
Well, the lyrics are, Mr. President, today I am speaking in name of myself and all the people who are suffering in 2011. There are still people dying of hunger who want to work to survive, but their voice was not heard. Is this a mainstream musical voice in the Arab world, in Tunisia and around the region, or is it more on the fringe?
Well, prior to the Arab uprisings, it was more of an underground kind of music, and I think that what happened was during the protests and through the course of the uprisings last year, what we saw was this music becoming much more amplified through the media, through rappers performing at protest rallies, and through social media.
And how? Through social media? I mean, there are uploads and constantly sharing of playlists. It's not like the tapes in Iran during the Iranian Revolution, where tape cassettes were handed person to person.
Right. No, and this is a very low-tech form of music, and so it's easy for a rapper or a rap group to write a rhyme, upload it to Facebook, upload it to YouTube, and have an instant audience. And this is how, you know, many people are seeing it, through Facebook, through YouTube. The music is spreading through MP3s, through ringtones. It's through Al Jazeera, through CNN, through many of these forums.
Describe some of the artists that you've become familiar with during all of this.
So the rapper El General, who we just heard a little bit from, he was a 21-year-old guy who lived in a port city south of Tunis and was an amateur rapper before all of this happened. He was not very well known at all. And what happened was that he wrote this song, Reis Le Bled, or Head of State, that immediately was picked up by local media. And even though it was banned pretty soon, it still got out there and people heard it. And he became quite prominent during this time for speaking the truth to things that were not being said in Tunisian society prior to the uprisings.
Feels a lot like Eminem, in a sense.
Yep.
Yeah. What is the future for rappers like this who find a voice, who come from nowhere and don't necessarily have an organized sort of music industry to play into. They don't get picked up like Kanye West, right?
Right. I think that their future is very tied into the future of the protest movements because they're so involved, because this is when El General was arrested in January and he was detained for 3 days, it was the force of his music and the spread of his music and the people that got him out of jail within 3 days. And I think as long as they can maintain that kind of support among people and be heard and listened to, I think that they can maintain their music.
No, there's also the case in Iran to a certain extent, in the Farsi-speaking world and in the Arabic-speaking world, poetry has been an extraordinarily important transmitter of message. And there's a huge repertoire of memorized poetry that almost every citizen of the Arab world knows, way beyond what we would know here in the English-speaking world. How does that play into all this?
Well, I think, you know, traditionally poetry has been such an important form of protest in the Arab world and beyond. And I think that rap music is taking up that legacy and doing it with a beat.
So in a sense, it's tailor-made for this culture. It's not some sort of a transplant.
Exactly. I think that we see that in many parts of the world.
Tell me about this track. كلامي مرايه لاحداث عشتها بدات على قدي من وقتها وانا بعلى في المستوى فوق فن التوب عايز وقت. Tell me about this artist.
This is an Egyptian rapper called Mohammed El Deeb, and the song is called Masra Deeb or Deeb Stage, and it's was written during the early days of the Egyptian revolution to remind people why they were in the streets. And you see Deeb, he's in the streets, he's drinking coffee, he's with the people, and this is his stage. He is with the people and he's representing their frustrations. He's talking about how people need medicine. He's talking about the corruption in Egypt, the pre-revolutionary Egypt. And he's saying, you know, the mic is my friend, it appreciates my honesty. And he's contrasting his own honesty through rapping and through the music with politicians who are seen as lying to the population.
You know, there's something about the popularity of these tunes that really also speaks to the universality of hip-hop itself. It's no accident that, you know, Dylan's style of, although that track that we played of Dylan sounds a lot like rap, you know, that It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding. Yeah. But nevertheless, it's not a folk singing style that gets translated around the world. It's not the sort of Crosby, Stills, and Nash style that gets translated around the world. It's definitely a hip-hop language. Is that what you're finding?
Yes, definitely. And I mean, it's very much, it's about the direct style. It's about the music. It's about, this is something that that people can relate to regardless of what language it's in. فرحة لحظة في ناس حافظة مش فاهمة ناس رافضة ومعارضة من غير لازمة ناس حاسين بالأزمة تعبانين حابسين دم الملايين زي التعب.
You said a moment ago that this is a low-tech style of music. Is that in a sense that people are doing it on GarageBand on their own computers and there's no studio involvement really at all?
There doesn't have to be, and I think, you know, you don't have to have expensive music lessons, you don't have to have instruments. This is something that you can just do very easily, exactly, on your own home computer. You can make a beat, you can record your voice, you can upload it all using the kind of technology that's now very easily available.
You know, thinking about the heartbreaking story out of Syria right now, are there any regimes, are there any places that have been particularly good at suppressing these kinds of cultural expressions, be they the social network itself or songs, hip-hop, rap, poetry?
Yeah, well, I think that there are some countries like Yemen where the internet is not as easily available to people, and hip-hop hasn't played as big of a role as it has played in places like Tunisia and Egypt where the internet and this social media networking was more available.
And your, of course, work is to seek a global hip-hop generation, and this goes beyond the Arab world. It's true in South Asia. It's true in East Asia as well.
Yes, it's true all over the world. I began my research in Cuba, where I saw, you know, people who weren't able to go and have a protest rally in the streets to talk about issues of race and racism were very easily able to write a rap song and perform it at a concert and thereby spread their message.
A universal language of protest, of social change, and we're in the middle of it. Sujatha Fernandez, thanks so much.
Thank you.
She's the author of Close to the Edge, In Search of the Global Hip-Hop Generation, and we may have found it.
And this is part of a larger conversation about protest songs, and we've been hearing from you about what your favorite protest songs are.
Hi, this is Darren from Paramus, New Jersey. As for protest songs, I think you better go back to the original. Strange Fruit.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root.
Protest songs that have been around for literally hundreds of years, beginning with the American Revolutionary War.
We should explain that song is about a lynching.
Well, that's that actually what you're hearing right there is not just about a lynching, but about everything that involved in the lynching. Jim Crow laws. It was a shocker at the time because of its graphic nature. And it helped to fuel a protest that ended with the civil rights movement. What are your favorite protest songs and why do they speak to you? You can let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE or you can post it on our website. thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Eyes and the twisted mouth.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them. Because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.